you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
I'm going to ask that you turn with me, if you have your Bible, to Luke chapter 2. I'm going to be reading from the New International Version, and this is God's Word. "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Just a few key points this morning about this very familiar story. First of all, God orchestrated the actions of a demonized emperor in Rome to bring about the fulfillment of the details of a prophetic promise. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, God had said where the Messiah would be born. That's why when the wise men came looking for the child who'd been born as king of the Jews, and he asked Herod, they asked Herod, you know, where is this one who's been born? Herod summoned the elders who knew the scriptures and said, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? And they said, Bethlehem. It wasn't a mystery. The Jews had been looking for the birth of the Messiah for centuries, because God had promised centuries before that he would send a Savior. He would send a deliverer. Now, Jesus wasn't exactly what they expected. They wanted someone to overthrow Rome. But you see, God is on the throne, even when Caesar Augustus thinks he's on the throne. Even when you've got a foreigner whose military has got your country under its boot, God is still on the throne. Even when that foreign power is ruled by someone who wants to be seen as a God himself, God, who is God, is still on the throne. And he is not threatened in the least by all the arrogant insanity of people on earth who want to set themselves up as God. We look at Caesar Augustus and we say, what arrogance, what insanity. This is terrible. How could he do that? And it's exactly what all of us try and do. In our natural state, we say no to God. I'll make my own choice. My body, I can do what I want. It's my life, I can do what I want. It's my money, I can do what I want. We just have smaller kingdoms. We just have smaller thrones. But the human heart is perpetually in rebellion against God. And God, rather than being threatened, sovereignly orchestrates all of these things in order to accomplish his purpose. Well, what is his purpose? It's whatever he says. You want to know what God is up to? Read his book. Read the Bible. See what God is doing. If you read in the book of Acts, when Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost, he says, you killed the Lord. Well, I guess that kind of ruined the plan, didn't it? That messed everything up. No. Even though what you did was evil, even though what you did was done without understanding, God was actually sovereignly working out his plan. God was actually, even in that, not the author of sin, but the sovereign Lord of history, who doesn't just work in broad strokes, but works out the details. So again, God orchestrated the actions of a demonized emperor in Rome to bring about the fulfillment of the details of a prophetic promise. That's amazing, isn't it? That's the God we serve. Well, we know this because God, when he works out the details of the plan, causes everything to go smoothly for his children. Okay? Like it did for Mary and Joseph. Right? No. This is not the way they would have planned it. Who wants to take a long trip when you're about to have a baby? They were having to go on foot. You don't know that, Pastor. No, I don't know that. They may have had a donkey. Boy, that would make things better for a pregnant woman, wouldn't it? Okay. Well, maybe she got to ride in a cart. Maybe she did. But in that case, I think the baby would have been placed in the cart instead of in a manger. So looking at the evidence, I would suggest there's a high probability that they were traveling on foot. I can't guarantee that, but I can guarantee you this. It wasn't convenient. It wasn't easy. It wasn't pleasant. She's about to have a baby, and they have to take a long trip to another place because some foreign king is demanding it. Do you ever get frustrated with some of the things the government does? I mean, you probably don't, but I do. Sometimes when the government does stuff, whether it's monetary policy or military policy or whatever it may be, I think, God, why do you let this happen? Mary and Joseph had to make this trip at the end of Mary's pregnancy, and when they got there, they couldn't even get a room in the inn. There was no room in the inn. So they got to be where the animals were. Jesus' first baby bed was a feeding trough, a manger. Wouldn't you think God could have arranged something better for his son? Wouldn't you think God could have arranged something better for Mary? I mean, she had embraced what God said. She had submitted herself to the Lord's will. And now, this is the thanks I get. After 9 months of carrying this child, I can't even get a place to spend the night. Had to travel all the way here, and there's no room in the inn? Do you think they prayed and kind of waited for a miracle? Honey, I think God's got a plan in this, and he's gonna open the door. There's gonna be something. Maybe somebody will come up to us on the street and say, "Hey, you need a place to stay?" I mean, something's gonna work out. Well, if God is sovereign and working out the details, couldn't he do better than this? There's nothing better than this. God knew exactly what he was doing, and Jesus was born exactly where he was supposed to be, and starting out in the manger was God's plan. He's going to end up on a cross. If you think your circumstances are difficult, I want you to understand that people all around the world for 2,000 years have been hearing this story and pondering the fact that the God who created the universe would not only humble himself to become one of us, but be willing to be born in these circumstances and placed in a manger. That's amazing. That is utterly amazing.
Hi, this is Jim Wood with Abiding in Christ. I actually enjoy buying gifts for my wife and children, and that's good because I've got 7 children. I give gifts to my 8 grandchildren and to my staff as well. And at this time of year, I make some special gifts to several ministries that I believe are doing a good job sharing the gospel. Well, I'd be grateful if you would make a special year-end gift to Abiding in Christ like I do. Use the mail. Give online if you'd like at pastorwood.org or call 866-41-ABIDE. But please, let us hear from you before the year is out. Thanks so much.
Third point. You see, God arranged things even using Caesar Augustus. God arranged things even including the manger. God arranged things including the PR team. The PR team? What do you mean? Marketing, man. You know, public relations. How are we going to get the word out? Okay? Who shall we tell? If you wanted somebody to announce the birth of a king, can you think of anything better than a bunch of shepherds? There were in the same country shepherds who were out in the fields keeping watch over their flocks by night. Shepherding is a lowly business. You're out there at nighttime with the animals. These guys were not sitting in climate-controlled comfort watching on video cameras to be sure that everything was secure. They had to be out there on the hillside with the animals. That was not a high-paying job. These were not the elite of society. If we got together a team to plan the unveiling of God's Son, I wouldn't have thought shepherds. That wouldn't come to mind. But what we do know is that, as Jesus says in Matthew 11:25, "Father, I praise you. You've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to babes." Little kids get it, even when the PhDs don't. In Luke 3, that very next chapter, take a look for just a moment. The beginning of Luke 3. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod Tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip Tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias Tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. Do you notice anything? A couple of things about those verses. Number one, it's clearly anchored in history. This isn't once upon a time. He's saying this is when it happened. But secondly, he gives a who's who of all the elite, both politically and religiously. And none of them got the word. The word of God came to John out in the wilderness. What a peculiar plan. Why would God do it that way? Because that's the way God likes to do things. And God still likes to do things that way. In 1 Corinthians, we are told to think about who we were and what we were like before we knew the Lord. Again, this is not the way that most of us would plan it if we were thinking in terms of marketing. Verse 26 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. This is the God who sent his Son to save us. And God has always chosen to do things in a way that does not fit with our plan. God, who delights in the weak, in order that his power might be revealed. God, who faithfully keeps his promise, displayed his love with his Son's death on a cross. Who would plan that? God did. God knew exactly what he was doing, and he still does. He has not changed. He does not change. And so when we look thinking, God, why don't you do things the way I would? We're kind of pitiful imitations of Caesar Augustus, wanting our will to be done, our kingdom to come on earth like yours is in heaven. And God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. The marvelous grace of God is that he saves people like us. He doesn't simply say, you got it wrong, go to hell. Could. It wouldn't be unjust. There would be nothing unfair about God damning everyone on earth. But God chose to save. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. Because Jesus came to die. He was born for us. We see again in this passage that all of God's promises are true. I love when the angel showed up and the shepherds said to one another, "How neat. Look, that's an angel, isn't it?" Not what happened. They were terrified. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that'll be for all the people." Why? "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." And the shepherds said to one another, "I wonder if it's true." No. The shepherds said, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened." That's called believing God's word. When they heard the word of the Lord, they believed the word of the Lord. "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened." Is that your approach to Scripture? When God says something, do you decide, well, that settles that? And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word. That's what we need to do. What if the shepherds had said, "Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, this is amazing. It's really wonderful, and I'm really glad that God told us. But I don't think people are going to believe me." You know, it sounds kind of crazy. You know, we're out there in the field keeping watch over our sheep. Who's going to believe that? They didn't worry about who was going to believe. They just went out and told what they knew was true. That's our job. Our job is to spread the word. Our job is not to make people believe. That's between them and God. Our job is to spread the word, to share not what we think, what we know. What do you know? Do you know him? If you know him, you can tell people about him. I don't go out and tell people I think I'm married. You know, I think I have a wife. I know my wife. Happy to introduce her to people. Let me tell you, I know my Lord. And I'm so glad I can introduce people to him. Because he'll show up. If anybody wants to know him, they'll meet him. He will make himself known to anyone. If you seek, you're going to find. So, God's promises are true. And everything is and will be just as he said. Look at the last two verses here. Verses 20 and 21. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. It's always just as God says. Look at the next verse. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. Got that? Before he was conceived, he already had a name. Why? Because God said so. God keeps his word. No, circumstances will not always go the way that we would want them to be, but God even can use pagan, demonized rulers to bring about his purpose. Do not be afraid. When it looks like the wheels are coming off, don't be afraid. When persecution occurs, remember this is what Jesus told us to expect. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. Savior has been born. Merry Christmas.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.